Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another conversation here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. I've got two folks joining us today talking about this very important question that you guys saw at the top of the episode. And so I want to start us off by doing a little bit of introduction so you know who we're chatting with. We've got Ty and we've got Alicia, and both of you guys are on the West Coast, right? You're in British Columbia, the West Coast of our country, Canada, yeah?
Beautiful BC.
Alicia, why don't you start us off, introduce yourself to people so they know what you're up to these days. And who you are.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. Hi, everyone. My name is Alicia Chinchilla. I work for an organization called Ally Global Foundation. I got to come around with you guys and the youth worker community across our nation this past few months to do the conference with you guys, and that was incredible. But yeah, I'm in Vancouver, BC. My husband and I, we have a very important person in our home, which is our puppy. His name is Bo, and he is the best. But yeah. Part-time work for Ally, which for those of you that don't know, we're an organization that helps people that have been rescued out of trafficking find long-term aftercare. And in Canada, we're working towards preventing exploitation happening to young people here as well. And then also, fun side note, I'm a flight attendant on the side, Jer.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's pretty fun.
That is a fly around. Those are dramatically different worlds.
Very like different
worlds. Take one hat off and to move into the other.
Yeah.
But must be fun to get a chance to see parts of the continent.
Totally. It is fun. And then also my husband and I are actually planting a church here in Vancouver and hoping to launch officially in the fall, which is super exciting as well. So lots of different hats.
This is an honest question. You guys are planting through an ongoing church, or is it a fresh church? Through Village, right?
Yeah, so through Village Church, started in Surrey, still are in Surrey, few other sites here in BC, one in Calgary, one in Winnipeg and Manitoba, and then one in Toronto. And so this is actually the first urban site, though, that we are launching. For the most part, they've all been in suburbs, so this is really exciting for us. And it's live worship, live preaching, very different than what we've done in the past. So we're really excited about it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And then this is my friend, Ty.
Yeah. Ty, introduce yourself to everybody.
Yeah. My name is Ty Hanlon. I'm a youth pastor at Mountainside Community Church in Fernie, BC, which we are technically on the West Coast because we're in British Columbia, but we're the furthest possible point east from the West Coast. So we're right on the Alberta border in a beautiful ski town in Fernie, if you've ever heard of it. World-class powder. It's a great spot. And
yeah, world-class, right? Like people come from all over. Bump into famous people all the time coming to ski and snowboard? Or do you just see their chalets hiding somewhere?
See the chalets. Apparently, I'm not sure it's hearsay, but apparently Justin Timberlake is building a chalet up at Ski Hill. So
there you go.
If you ever want to meet him.
If I knew more of his music, this is where I would drop a quote or two, but unfortunately that would require too much Googling. So
as long as I got my suit and tie.
There we go.
I was going to reference a different song, but I don't think that it was appropriate.
Okay. So Ty, and you've been a youth pastor at this church in Fernie for how long? About 3, 4, or 5 years?
It'll be 4 years in June. Yeah. And so my wife and I moved here. This is my first position. So my wife, Jennifer, and I actually grew up in Sparrowwood, which is just down the road. So this is kind of the church I grew up in, which is something I never expected to be in. But now that I am, it's a great spot to be in. So we've got two little ones, daughter and a son, and a third one on the way. So we're full on. Thank you. So we're due in August. And so we're in the thick of it. We're in the parenting trenches. We're in the youth ministry trenches, and we're loving it.
Yeah. So good. Well, and going back and youth pastoring at your home church, it's part of my story too. It's a part of a lot of people's story. And usually the way you preface it is by saying, I never really anticipated doing this, and yet I've come back and it's been really good. And usually people have pretty good experiences with that. So props to you for jumping on that. I think that's awesome. Now, this conversation that we're going to have is kind of on two angles. So the ideas that, Alicia, you talked about when you were across our country of Canada, talking talking about these issues of justice and through the lens of this organization that you work for are absolutely critical. And so we're going to get snippets of that. But I will say to folks that are listening, that's not necessarily the primary angle in the conversation. And so we'll leave lots of links in the show notes for you to access the work that Ally's doing and some incredible resources that are available for your youth group. But I would love to hear how, Ty, you got connected with Ally. Alicia, did you reach out to Ty initially, or how did you guys meet?
So actually, sorry, I'll go first, Ty, if that works. Basically, Ty had heard about Ally through his friend, Joel, that he went to university with. And so every year we have an initiative that we invite people to join in on. It's called Move for Freedom. It's just a tangible way, especially for young people, to feel like, okay, this generation of teenagers, young people, they care about social justice issues. And I feel like there's not enough opportunities for them to actually get involved and do something about it. And so, Ty, I think you heard about it through a friend and then he connected us. Am I right?
Yeah. And so kind of our first, I just saw my friend Joel doing Move for Freedom. I think he was doing something crazy like biking for 12 hours straight, because that's the kind of things that he does. And I was telling the youth in my group, hey, this is what my friend's doing. This is a really cool thing. And what we actually did is I had a whole bunch of bottles that needed to be returned. So I was like, hey, do you want to come help me return these bottles? And we'll give all this money to my friend Joel's Move for Freedom campaign. And so that was like our introduction into it. And then started the wheels turning. We're like, hey, we could actually do something like this for ourselves.
Okay, so we're going to go there because in just a second, because I think that's fascinating. For all of you listening that are, you know, you're volunteers, you've got a small group of students. What Alicia just said, I think, is really helpful for us to notice, because these days we're recognizing more and more, you know, our students really do want to do something of significance. They want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, Alicia, you correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like a lot of times when they watch, you know, whatever they're watching on TikTok, or if their friends are sending them snaps or something, a lot of times the angle or the direction becomes a little bit, you know, almost like a political thing, or maybe even almost like trying to, you know, sort out particular worldviews and truths for people. But there is this justice component baked into it. And what I love about what you kind of just said is that we have the ability to actually take the justice desire in students and actually help them understand how that's actually deeply wired into our faith as Jesus followers. And so do you see, like, when you travel and when you talk with young people, like, how do you build that bridge, Alicia, so that people understand, hey, this is not just something that's inside of you, you got a desire for it, but it's actually something that we're called to do.
Yeah, totally. Actually, at the youth worker conferences, I got to talk a bit about, and I had a breakout session, and we kind of unpacked this, which was really cool, because Tim Keller, legend, he's the best. He has a article that he talks about biblical justice and what that looks like. And I just thought it was super interesting, because these four things that he said we need to consider is generosity, equality, advocacy, and responsibility. And we could probably put that article in the show notes. It's super amazing. But I thought it was really interesting, because this idea of like a responsibility and like actually showing your students, okay, we're actually called to care about this, and individually we have a responsibility, but corporately, as a community, what is our responsibility? What are we actually supposed to do about this? And I love the way he kind of unpacks it a bit. And so even in our discipleship of our students, you know, it's easy. Scripture is just loaded with us, you know, having to care for the vulnerable, and we have a responsibility, and what we have is not our own. And so how do we be generous? What does that look like? And so I think it's really beautiful to actually go, okay, we're called to care. We know that, you know, everyone is created equal, and we know that we have a responsibility, and we have to advocate on behalf of those that cannot stand up for themselves, or those that are marginalized, or you name it. There's so many different issues. It doesn't have to just be, you know, the issue of human trafficking. I just think we have a cool opportunity as youth leaders, youth pastors, youth workers to go, okay, what are my students seeing on TikTok every day, on social media? And what are the things that they're passionate about, and how can I actually come alongside them and propel them to go, okay, because God has asked us to care about this, and because, you know, we are called to love, and how can we actually take that and steward that well to go, let's do something about it? I think youth workers and youth leaders have such a unique opportunity to really propel them to do something about it. And so that's what I kind of talked about at this breakout session and going, okay, it's super simple, actually. Why don't you just listen to what they're passionate about? I know Ty, when he got involved with Move for Freedom, he did the Life on Purpose series with
Alpha.
Alpha.
He's Alpha.
Yeah. So yeah, that series is incredible. And so he heard his students go, okay, we want to do a fundraiser. And it's like, okay, so he listened to his students and they're like, okay, they're passionate about wanting to do something. And then it's like, okay, well, let's learn about an issue that you care about. You know, let's actually take time and then let's actually decide to do something and then do it. It's like, it's that simple, you know? And I think sometimes we overcomplicate how we can actually get our students involved in doing something, but just listening, learning, deciding and doing, like those four things. I'm like, there's so much that we can actually do. And so, but yeah, I think it's just really getting back down to the basics of like, what does the Bible say and what is our responsibility?
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah. Well, it turns out it's becomes a discipleship issue, right? So The idea that as a volunteer, when you're thinking about discipling your students, into the way of Jesus, well, the way of Jesus is actually obviously really tied to caring for the oppressed, caring for those that are hurt and caring for those that have been downtrodden. So, Ty, tell us then with some of this kind of preface, what happened with your students? What, you know, local church youth group, you got your crew and all of a sudden everybody's asking to do something justice oriented. How did you cultivate in them? What was the steps?
Yeah, definitely. Started as like, yeah, coming out of this Life on Purpose series, kind of this, yeah, ambient desire to do something mixed with the challenge of living in a fairly affluent upper middle class community. You know, we're a ski town. And so the number of visible needs in our community of like there are some, but they are far less obvious than if you're in an urban setting or something like that. And so it was, yeah, helping to find an avenue for our students to be able to step into the role to do justice, to be generous, to care for those and who God cares about, for the oppressed and the downtrodden. And in our context, it required doing something outside of our community, at least in this situation. And so our students had the desire to raise money for something, and I kind of suggested the idea of Move for Freedom, which they quickly got behind because they're like, you know what, we have the ability to move. We've got lots of mountains around us, and so it quickly became the plan to climb a mountain to raise funds for it. And you know, one thing students have, you know, they don't have a ton of excess money, but they can be generous with their time. Mm-hmm. And then we can ask people who do have money to be generous with their money to support us. And that kind of became the means by which we had an opportunity to step out into doing the kinds of things that Jesus cares about in a way that was unique to our community.
So I want to make sure I catch this. So Life on Purpose, which also will link, free resource, people can access, incredible. So this video curriculum inspires your students to want to do something purposeful, mm-hmm. Like generally with their life, but then even specifically like in the here and now, is that kind of the idea?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
And so what the specific thing was, is they're like kind of, we split into about four different groups and each group kind of put their heads together as a way, an actual tangible thing with the next couple of weeks that they were going to do that was purposeful. And one group suggested, hey, we should do a community-wide garage sale and give the money away to something. And it was funny because they're like, yeah, we could like each go home and pick out a couple of things from our closets and then put up some posters and then have it this weekend. And so as a youth leader, you do need to give a little bit of direction. You're like, hey, a garage sale is an awesome idea. A garage sale with 9 items isn't an awesome idea. How can we work to make this actually be both the combination of your idea as well as, just to give a little bit more direction to it? And so from that, it kind of arose. The kids were like, oh, man, we've done the event bigger or better before. And so I was like, well, we could go around town, play bigger or better, but tell them what we're playing it for. It's to collect items for our garage sale. And that combined with just advertising around town that, hey, if you got you're doing spring cleaning and there's stuff you want to get rid of, you can drop it off at Mountain Side Community Church. And we ended up with like a full cargo trailer full of stuff. It was a lot of stuff.
That's wild. Okay, so this is good. So volunteers, make sure you hear this. There's this moment of students feeling the desire to go and to do the thing or to do the something. They've got the urge. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can miss that opportunity and somebody else will capitalize on it. Like the students will spin their tires and they will go and do something. They've got the energy. They've got the vision. They've got the heart behind it. I think this discipleship conversation is just this essential piece to understand that in our teenagers, notice when it pops up and be ready to help disciple and shape it as a shepherd would. You know, that's the other thing that we get to do as youth leaders. Like we are shepherds of students and shepherds guide the sheep in the direction to make sure that they're staying in a healthy, wise path. And so, you know, Ty, as the shepherd, you get a chance to kind of shape that. And so you send the students to the community. That's cool. They get to meet people. They're gathering stuff. They're raising money. And they're raising money for this specific cause. So Move for Freedom, obviously raising money for Ally Global. It makes me think, though, there's downsides to this. I'm going to give an old example. I don't know if you guys do 30-hour famine when you were growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Ty and Alicia. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So I was very much a 30-hour famine a lot during my youth group years. And it was a fundraiser for World Vision. It raised money for World Vision. But the experience, as much as the, you know, the money was obviously used for something helpful, the experience of doing something for some students, I mean, it was lost and, you know, they never came back to it. But for some students, and I remember important moments through those types of activities, recognizing that God was calling us to do something important in his name for the world. And so if you can use that those moments as discipleship moments, I think they're absolutely critical. And 30-hour famine's not running anymore. And so the chance to do something like, I don't think it is, but to do something like this Move for Freedom with all the resources attached to it, I think is fascinating and offers that experience as well. So tell us, Ty, first, and then I want to come back to you, Alicia, just for a little bit more of what happens when groups do this and some of the stories that you've heard. But for your group, Ty, they sell the stuff, they get the money, they climb the mountain, they raise the funds. What kind of impact have you seen in your students since then? Because I know that was a while back that was going on. Did you notice any long-term effects or anything that kind of lasted beyond the moment of inspiration?
Yeah, first of all, after we finished the hike, immediately after, pretty much our entire group was like, we got to do this again next year. And so it already, this isn't a one-off thing. This is like now a rhythm of, you know, we're going to be doing it for a second time this year, already gearing up for it. And so there is a desire that, yeah, justice isn't a one-off thing. It's a continual thing that needs to be done and that we need to be pursuing. Yeah. Secondly, along with doing the actual hike, raising the funds, we also had one of our youth nights where we showed a film made by Ally Global called The 12,000, which is about telling the story of a girl's experience of how she actually got into the situation and kind of shows the steps that even traffickers take to lead somebody in. It's quite eye-opening and heartbreaking, and they did an excellent job making the film, and it really does what was it intended to do, which is to both raise awareness but also grab you by the heart to see the weight of this. It really it reminds you that these are people that are experiencing these things and that these are children, teenagers, you know, and so showing this to a group of teenagers, they're like, this is somebody my age. This is unimaginable that if I was in that situation, it would be absolutely awful. And so that night created a lot of heart behind it. And Ally has a great package to go along with it that both provides more information around the specifics of what human trafficking actually is, as well as just follow-up questions from watching the film in how you can respond and just sorting through it. And definitely sense that our students felt the weight of it, and it moved from the, oh, this is a fun event that our youth group's doing, and yeah, it's fun to be a part of something big, to like, yeah, this is, I actually care about human trafficking and am willing to get skin in the game to help ask, you know, family and friends, tell them about, I told them all too. It's like, hey, when you're going to ask for money, don't just say, hey, can I have $100 to this for this thing I'm doing. This is your chance to actually share with them about what your understanding of human trafficking is and why you want to do this and why we're doing this. And, you know, if you're, this is an evangelism opportunity, really, because you're sharing your heart that this is something that God cares about. And we want to do this kind of things that God cares about. God cares about bringing justice and caring for the least of these. And so a lot of them did that as they were asking money and telling their family and friends about what they're doing, why they're giving up a Saturday to go hike a mountain.
Okay, so
in the middle of August.
Want to that's so good. Okay, so the idea then of, hey, let's raise some money and let's actually then not just raise money for the issue but understand the issue more. Human trafficking, for lots of us listening, you know, that could feel like a pretty big thing. Like, even I remember growing up, you know, our group got involved with, you know, this particular issue, but predominantly from an international perspective. Like, I remember doing a letter writing campaign with my high school to petition Air Canada for flights heading into like Southeast Asia. That's where human trafficking happened. But Alicia, maybe talk to us just about this issue for a moment. Obviously there's lots to it, but when you think about exploitation and human trafficking, there's more to it, and it's actually closer to our students than we might realize. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely. I actually even remember, so I used to fly overseas as a flight attendant years ago with a really big airline in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I ever saw firsthand just a type of trafficking, which was forced labor. The Burj Khalifa in Dubai, where I lived, is the tallest, biggest building in the world. But when I learned firsthand about how it was built off the backs of slave labor, you know, gentlemen that were paid nothing, living in horrible living conditions, working 12-hour days, 7 days a week, and not actually able to go home because they had their passports taken from them, my heart broke. And then I even learned about the type of exploitation that was happening in Dubai, and then realized that those girls that were being brought to Dubai promised one thing, but then actually had their passports taken from them and were forced into exploitation in Dubai. I realized, how many of those girls did I fly on the plane that I never realized, or how many situations were happening right in front of my face that I was not aware of? And I think once I realized how close I was to the issue, my heart just broke, and I felt a lot more passionate to want to do something, because like you said, it wasn't a far off distant thing just happening somewhere I was never going to experience. It was happening right in front of my face, and I never even knew. And so I think that's kind of what we're realizing here in Canada. It's not maybe as black and white as we see overseas in Nepal or Cambodia. And the work that we do, if I could just say too, is incredible. We run safe homes in both Nepal and Cambodia. It's all local nationals who have in some way been involved. Either they've come through exploitation themselves or had family members, and they have given their lives to devote to care for this next generation of survivors. And it's beautiful. And we're seeing just this beautiful opportunity for them to find freedom and healing. And it's incredible. And it inspires us to keep doing what we're doing. And now in here in Canada, it's
What part of Cambodia? That's fascinating. Cambodia was where we went to. So yeah, what part of Cambodia are you guys in? Can you say?
I don't think I should mention.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. I'm not sure. Just in case. But Cambodia is our smaller project. And so we've got only about 3 safe homes there. But in Nepal, we have 5. Care for over 200 students. We have a school in Nepal as well, which is really beautiful, because then we can open it up to the community. It's for our students, but then also that's the best way to protect children from being exploited, is actually get them in schools. So we even go into rural parts of Nepal and Cambodia, and we do prevention work where we show the film, like Ty talked about, and educate families on, hey, this is what's happening, and then give tuition, give school books, uniforms, whatever they need, because we think that's a really easy way to protect children is get them in school so they're not walking around the streets looking for work or not working. So it's amazing what we're doing overseas. But here in Canada, I think it's a little less black and white, a lot more nuanced, a lot more gray. A lot of exploitation in North America is happening online. We're seeing through video games, through social media. Unfortunately, the statistics and the research that we have is just not current. It's not up to date. Statistics from 2012 and 2014. I'm like, that's a decade ago. And do you know how much social media and our culture has changed in the last 10 years? It's wild how much it's changed. And so a lot of the work that we're doing here now in Canada is trying to get proper research, proper education into the hands of teachers, youth workers, youth leaders, churches, to go, how do we protect our children? I would argue that this stat is a lot higher because this is only what's been documented and recorded. They say about 20 to 30% of exploitation victims in Canada are under 18. And then the shocking stat that I think is hard to wrap my mind around, but about 40% of people that are exploiting or being traffickers in Canada are of the ages of 18 to 24. So I think if we think in Canada our students aren't at risk, we're kidding ourselves, because if it's not them, it's a friend, it's their sibling, they're going to come into some sort of situation where they're going to interact with it in some way, shape, or form. And the best thing we could do as youth leaders and as youth workers is to actually create a space to talk about it, to have that safe space to go, hey, what is happening in Canada? And because we love you and care about you, we want you to know that, hey, if you're a 13-year-old boy playing video games and somebody wants you to send a picture of them so that they can buy you another level in your game, we want you to feel safe to talk to us about it and not feel like you're just going to get in trouble and you're going to get your game taken away from you.
A couple of things came to mind. You talked about, you know, our students are a little bit at risk, and I think that's the case for both being a victim but also potentially being an abuser, it sounds like, right? if the ones that are doing trafficking, and maybe just to explain what trafficking is, because some people just assume trafficking is like I kidnap somebody and I take them somewhere, but exploitation and trafficking looks even a little bit different these days.
Yeah, I think that's an issue that's been really sensationalized in some ways in the media and in pop culture. So there are definitely a lot of misperceptions about what trafficking actually is. So obviously, by no means, first of all, I'm not an expert in this and have not experienced this injustice firsthand. So there's limitations right off the bat to my understanding of this issue. However, based on what I've learned about this issue, it's very complex and it's much more nuanced than we actually see in the media. I think it's important to understand around language the terms trafficking and exploitation. They can often get used interchangeably, but there's actually a lot of intersectionality, but there's also some very key differences between those two things when we say trafficking and exploitation. So exploitation refers to the use of someone for personal or financial gain, often without their consent or even knowledge. So in the context of sex, exploitation can involve a range of activities, including sex trafficking, pornography, or other forms of sexual exploitation. But the victims of exploitation, they may not actually be physically coerced or controlled, but they've often been manipulated or deceived into engaging into these activities. Where trafficking is a type of exploitation that the two common ones we see in Canada are sex trafficking and labor trafficking. So with sex trafficking affecting our children and youth a lot more, this involves more of a recruitment process and transportation or harboring of those individuals for the purpose of sexual exploitation. So these victims of sex trafficking are often forced or coerced into sex work, and they may be physically or even psychologically controlled by their traffickers. So a key misunderstanding that is that these victims are all being kidnapped. You know, we think of like a creepy man in a van pulling up and physically forcing and grabbing, you know, these children, throwing them into the back of the van. But this can happen, obviously, but the grooming or recruitment process can actually look a lot more subtle and much more coercive to the point where some of these victims and survivors, they can't even self-identify or they don't even know that they're being trafficked. And so in terms of specifically like grooming tactics, we could talk about that obviously for a long time. And that's something that at Ally, we actually plan on providing further education around this issue. But this is where we see social media, what's happening on TikTok, video games, other online platforms playing a huge role, especially among our children and youth.
Which means that legitimately, like every high school girl small group leader knows, most of their girls have been propositioned for photos at one point. Like it's almost commonplace at this point, that level of exploitation, right?
Right. And I think we think it's somebody who's forcing it. But even if you've been manipulated to feel like this person cares about you, and you, even if that person wants to send a naked photo of themselves, even if they want to, because they are under the age of 18, they actually, you can't self-exploit. It's actually not a thing. And we cannot have that happening, and it's not allowed. So it's even if I remember hearing a story of a girl who was even a prostitute from the age of 13 to 19. And she didn't think she was being exploited because in her mind, she's like, I'm choosing to do this. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the difference in Canada is that we think that, and young people are thinking, even if I want to do this, I'm like, no, that's still, it's not okay. You can't exploit yourself at 13 and somebody else is profiting off of that. And that's not, okay, it's not allowed. So how do we protect young people from, how do we, two things. And I think it comes back to understanding our value and our worth. And as youth groups, we get a beautiful opportunity to, you know, where does your identity come from? And to point them back to the way God's created us and Jesus. And so how do we get young people to value themselves? And how do we get young people to value others? So like we said, so that majority of people that are exploiting from 18 to 24, they understand, you know, how to value other people and how to have healthy, beautiful relationships that are honoring to that person. I think if we start to have the conversations in our youth group, we can actually make such an impact in this generation of seeing other people the way God has created them. And so,
it kind of makes me, maybe this is helpful too for some youth workers, you know, the level of morality that a lot of our students embody or that they're taught from outside of the church is that the healthy place is just to find consent in their sexual ethic. And consent is kind of like, that's it. Once you get to consent, that's your sexual ethic. But in light of what you've just said, consent can still land kids in exploitive situations, in situations where they're being abused. And so the idea is we actually, I think, need to lead the way in our discipleship of students and to actually cast a much stronger ethic for our own sexuality. And obviously you gotta have the conversation with your point leader, and like these are difficult, big issues. But when you recognize that most of your high school girls small groups are like, those girls have had this experience, this isn't new or different. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh wow, we actually probably need to be talking to these guys more. We probably need to be casting a stronger vision for this. And and all of that can come under the lens of justice, of which students care so deeply about anyways.
Right. And I think we know, you know, our young people, they want to feel valued. They want to feel loved. They want to feel seen. They want to have that, even that ownership, to feel like they can do something and they can make an impact and they have worth. And even we've heard stories of a 13-year-old in the Lower Mainland here in Surrey who was trafficked through a gang that's a very dangerous gang that's come from Central America that has come to Canada and has manipulated and coerced her into thinking that this is a community she wants to be a part of. And she's 13, and her parents weren't the loving home, loving family, good school, good friends. But it comes down to the human issue of wanting to feel loved and admired and valued and a part of something. And so I think these conversations are really important to have with young people, because we know we're all longing for that as humans, you know, that's just our desire. And so to place that in the identity of how God's created you and how he sees you, and to be a part of a loving community, like in the church and in your youth where you matter. And I think that it speaks so much more to the human condition than we even understand. I think we take for granted, oh, youth, you know, gathering on a Friday night, or what is this even going to do? And I'm like, no, that's a place where they belong and they matter. And I think that God can do so much more with you just showing up on a youth night than you ever, ever could even know and imagine. And so I think, back to what we talked about earlier, even in biblical justice and having this understanding and awareness of, I think with mission work, we think, oh, like we said, we have to go to Cambodia to make an impact, or I have to, you know, go on a missions trip to do something. And I'm like, no, God has gifted each and every one of us with talents and skills. And we need people that are going to go into the business force to go, how do I take my business and be on mission to do biblical justice in the world with my business? Or I'm going to be a singer-songwriter. I'm a gifted singer. It's like, how do I write songs that point back to how we see and care and value people? I'm a artist, you know, how do I create art that, you know, there's so much more that we can do with the gifts and talents that we've been given that don't have to be the missionary or have to be the one running the safe home. You know, I think God wants to use us here and now for what we've been given and gifted with to actually, you know, do something about these injustices we see.
Yeah, I love that. Well, ladies, like, this is just, there's so much here. This is great. And I know we're going to put a lot of links in the show notes so people can access that kind of stuff. As we come to a close here, I'll say, obviously, we want people to be able to access the resources from Ally Global that can talk about this type of injustice, the idea of here's a way that your group can actually be involved and do something specific with the Move for Freedom. We'll link that. And then ultimately we're open for conversation. So we've got contact info in the show notes if people want to reach out and have further conversation. But as we come to a close, Ty, why don't you wrap us up here and just encourage some youth workers that are discipling students, and there's so many competing priorities as they're wrestling with, you know, youth group this week, and like some kids aren't paying attention, some kids aren't in it, and it feels like this can be a heavy weight to carry as a youth worker. Maybe can you just encourage them as they step into their weekly rhythms here at their next youth group?
Yeah, I guess it's that if God has placed the eternity in the hearts of mankind, then we can trust that there's going to be this God-given desire in people to do something that is of significance and something that makes a difference, because God wired us that way to be contributors, to be stewards of what he's given us. And so your role is getting to, whether it's with 5 kids or 50 or 100, whatever your group size is, you get to provide both a place where they experience that belonging for themselves, like Alicia was saying, where they're going to be less likely to be in a vulnerable place where they go looking for that elsewhere and can find themselves in a position to be exploited. They're also part of a group that is working towards being part of the solution. It's because justice is not just not doing wrong things. It's the presence of doing righteousness and being generous. And so to be part of a group that both fills kids with a sense of love and belonging, but also a sense of purpose where they're actually stepping out, whether it's through getting involved with Move for Freedom or whatever else you're doing as a group, it may seem on a week-to-week basis, and this is something I have to remind myself constantly, that you're not making, it might feel like you're not making a big difference, but if we were to zoom out with God-sized vision, you are, even if you're impacting one life and changing them from being somebody who might be exploited or being someone who might be tempted to be an exploiter, that's going to ripple out throughout the, make a huge impact. And so this is the stuff we get to do. And this is day in and day out. And can't thank you enough. And I appreciate my volunteers who give their time week after week. And so thank you for doing what you're doing, and I encourage you to keep on doing it.
That's great. It's a great spot to stop. And so thank you guys so much for being with us. We will see all that are listening the next time here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.